Hello, everyone, and welcome into another episode of the University College Podcast at Kennesaw State University. I'm your host, Brandon Apter. I am the marketing and social media specialist here at University College. I want to thank everybody for tuning in for this episode. If you've missed any of our previous episodes, we've had some really good ones the past couple of weeks. Speaking with another very unique first-generation student here at KSU, along with Jim Davis, who is a professor in the Theater and Performance Studies Department, as well as University College's First Year and Transition Studies Department, talked a lot about nerd culture and finding your passion and how to work that into your professional career. So if you haven't gotten an opportunity to listen to either of these episodes, you can find the University College Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor.fm, and iHeartRadio. Just search University College Podcast Network and you'll be able to find all of our previous episodes there. So in this episode, I'll be joined by assistant producer of Q99.7's The Burt Show, Blake Eason. He graduated from Kennesaw State with a degree in journalism and emerging media and took some courses in University College leadership and the integrative studies internship class. So we'll talk a little bit about how that helped him along the way. We'll learn a little bit more about what goes into being an assistant producer of a radio show, everything from preparation to production. And for students that might be listening, we'll also hear a little bit about what it might take for you to get into the radio and production industry. Some advice and tips from Blake himself. You can follow Blake on Twitter at TheBlakeEason, spelled TheBlakeEason. And you can follow The Burt Show on Twitter at The Burt Show. They air on Q99.7 in Atlanta from 5:30 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. So without any further delay, please enjoy our conversation with Blake Eason, assistant producer of The Burt Show. All right, everyone, welcome back into the University College Podcast right now. Very happy to be joined by Blake Eason, the assistant producer of The Burt Show on Q99.7 and KSU alum, Blake Eason. Blake, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. Super, super excited to be here. This is awesome. I think this might be my definitely the beginning of podcast appearances for me. So yeah. This is just as fun for me as I'm sure it is for you.
Yeah, I know you got interviewed by Kennesaw State last year when you were going through the whole homecoming king thing and,
yes,
and interning with the Burt Show and everything. So it's nice to finally be able to track you down and get you on the show.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Why don't we just start things off a little bit about you before we get into the radio stuff and the university stuff. Where are you from originally, and when did you first realize that working in radio and production was something that you wanted to do?
Well, I am from Warner Robins, Georgia, which is about 2 hours south of here, so very small town, and a lot of friends were going off to Kennesaw, so I was kind of faced with a decision. Do I want to go to UGA? Do I want to go to Kennesaw? Do I want to go to Columbus State? For me, I wanted to be close to Atlanta, so that was why Kennesaw was an easy decision for me to make. And then the second part of your question was, when did I kind of have an idea of wanting to be a part of the entertainment industry?
Yeah.
I think it was as soon as I realized that it could be a possibility. Like, I always loved entertainment, always loved pop culture, I always loved watching the red carpets and, mm-hmm, you know, seeing the questions that celebrities would be asked, or I've followed Ryan Seacrest's career,
right,
pretty closely. But for me, I always was a fan of those people who occupied those positions, but mm-hmm, I never believed that that type of career path could be the one that I would choose and,
right,
would ultimately follow. I guess that was because I just wasn't familiar with career paths and, like, you know, hey, what does it take to get from point A to point B?
Mm-hmm.
But I think over time, as I began to kind of listen to what makes me happy and what I was passionate about, it kept coming back to that portion of the entertainment industry with radio and TV and the exciting, you know, 24/7 aspect of that. That,
right,
was,
yeah,
just so intoxicating. And I was like, you know what? I am willing to do whatever it takes to make this a reality. And so I think I came across that realization I think it was 2017 when I was like,
okay,
this is the career. I don't really know how I'm going to get there or how I'm going to make it happen, but I'm determined to figure that out.
Now, you talk about liking the entertainment industry, and I'm sure that dates to prior to college. So when you were growing up, did you ever do things to, like, you know, for me, it's just like I wanted to be a play-by-play broadcaster. So I used to, like, throw on my N64 and broadcast the computer, playing the computer in football. Did you ever do stuff like that to kind of be like, yeah, you know, this is something maybe that I would be good at?
Right. No, absolutely. Totally. So depending on how deep you do your research, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, there was once upon a time in my life when I wanted to be a rapper. So I made music. So that was one career route that I wanted to go down. Okay. That quickly changed to wanting
to do...
You have
old audio cassettes of that stuff?
I'm going to not answer that question, and we'll see what you can find. And I would prefer you not include any of that. But yeah, there was a part of me that... totally kidding. You can get some laughs out of it as well if you're able to track it down somewhere on there. But in addition to that, I did theater in high school, mm-hmm. which I loved theater. There was always an element of performing that I loved, whether that was as simple as being the class clown in my classes growing up, or whether that was being on stage in theater, you know, acting in a play of some sort. And there was always that piece. I never wanted to be a comedian, but mm-hmm. I did just love entertaining people. I liked maybe trying to move someone towards something or laughing or, you know, making someone smile, as cliche or cheesy as that sounds. That was something that I always found enjoyment in. And so in terms of more of the, like, you know, broadcast side of things, I knew I loved radio. I loved mm-hmm. TV. But like I said, I just didn't know of any careers in that world that were possible. The only career that I kind of locked in on early on was, like, hosting and emceeing events. Yeah. But that just goes back to the statement I said before, where I just didn't think that was a No one says you can grow up being a host. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a typical career path.
You're waking up at like 4:35 in the morning. You're just like,
exactly. You're just like, I don't know about that. Or radio personality. It's kind of like one of those job descriptions that you write down and you're almost kind of embarrassed by it, because it's like, who are you to write that down? You know what I mean?
People will probably always expect you to be on.
Oh yeah. Totally. And it's one of those things. It's like, you can't really write that title down until you're in it, is like kind of the misconception of it. But for me, it was like, no, like, once I locked in and found it, I was like, that's what I want to be. And I might not be there now, but mm-hmm. I'm going to take all the steps I can take to get there, hopefully in the future.
Right. So you did theater and now you do radio. Do you like being behind the mic or in front of people more, or just kind of like a little bit of both?
You know, a little bit of both is great, but I get this question a lot, and I would definitely say I love being with people. There is nothing quite like a live audience. So if there was ever a way, and there's a lot of radio shows that do this, like have live studio audiences. Yeah. On Fridays at the Bird Show specifically, we have P1 parties where a lot of our most hardcore listeners will come in studio for the last 2 hours of the show. And mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like six people, sometimes it's like more than that. And it's like, we're all kind of crammed in the studio. And those are the best days, because there is live people in the studio watching what happens. But there is just nothing quite like that live, you know, event experience or live TV experience.
Get it. Get that adrenaline running.
Yeah. I mean, it's contagious. I love people and I feel off energy. And sometimes it's hard to kind of feel the energy in a room when it's just people behind a mic, you know, on a particular show. So definitely love the people element of broadcast.
Yeah. So going back towards the beginning, yeah, I know you interned before you became full-time with the Burt Show, but what was your first experience in the aspect of the entertainment industry, and what sort of early challenges did you face, and how did you overcome those?
Well, for me, it was when I made the decision in 2017, I was willing to do whatever it took to become involved in the entertainment industry. And so I knew that I currently lived in Atlanta. I went to school at Kennesaw at the time. And it was me kind of writing down every potential route that I could go in mm-hmm. the city in which I lived in. Obviously, Atlanta is not huge for entertainment. When you think of entertainment, you think of Los Angeles and maybe New York, depending on what, you know, level of entertainment you're considering. So for me, it was like, well, I can't afford to move to LA or move to New York, so let me make the most of what I have right in front of me. And so I went online one night and found all the potential internships that I knew that I could potentially maybe pursue in 2018, because this was the end of 2017. And I stumbled across the Burt Show internship. It was probably in January. I applied for the fall internship of 2018 in January of 2018. So we're a little like 7 months in advance.
Right,
you know, most people aren't even looking for fall interns until July, if you're lucky. And so applied for that. Did not heard back in March. I got an interview in March. I interviewed with Cassie, the social media web director of the Burt Show, and then didn't hear anything all the way through the end of July when I finally got the call that I was going to be an intern for the Bird Show. And fun story, Cassie actually told on air maybe like a year or so ago that she wasn't going to originally hire me to be an intern because I showed up in a suit, and she just thought that I came from the business school, and thought that I would be bored with the internship of the Bird Show because she assumed that I came from the business school, which obviously no disrespect. Little did she know, I just wanted to wear a suit that day and show them that I was ready for the job. So I thought that was a little funny of a story that she recently told me. But all that to say, the Bird Show internship was the first experience that I found within the entertainment industry. And I got really lucky because it was everything I wanted. It was radio, it was broadcast, it was live. It was entertainment. It was pop culture. I mean, you have everything from Kristen doing the E-Buzz on the 20 mark during, you know, every hour. Bert is live in studio, like watching him kind of go through, you know, how he preps for a show and how he gets into a segment and how he gets out of a segment. And there's just so many elements of that, I mean, I think that internship kind of checked the box for that I totally was not expecting.
We take a quick break from this episode with Blake to talk about the Smart Center part of University College. In the Smart Center, you will find tutors and resources to help with most general education, mathematics, chemistry, and physics courses, along with select engineering classes offered at Kennesaw State University. Students who utilize the Smart Center on a regular basis often have a higher pass rate for courses for which they receive tutoring. No appointments are necessary to use the Smart Center services, so stop by anytime they are open for help in your general education courses. You can visit the Smart Center on the Kennesaw campus in Sturgis Library, room 433, or on the Marietta campus in Norton Hall, room 174. You can also reach them at 470-578-6044. For all of their hours and services, visit online at smart.kennesaw.edu. Now back to the episode. Yeah, so you received a Bachelor of Science degree from KSU in Journalism and Emerging Media. You know, you were the 2019 Homecoming King. I saw the billboards.
Thank you, Bert.
And made the Dean's List on more than one occasion. So all that being said, how much has KSU played a part in your professional journey with regard to shaping you into the professional that you are today?
I mean, I don't think I would be where I am without Kennesaw, because, I mean, I think the first thing is to be a Bird Show intern, you have to get school credit for that. Mm-hmm. And so that was just an area that I had no idea of. And so it was pursuing the internship credit hours that come with the major that I was in. And it really kind of shaped the way of ushering me into that internship. And so, I mean, I didn't even know anything about applying for internships, let alone the ones that require you to get credit for.
Right.
So I would say I would have never been able to intern for the Bird Show had it not been for, the course that allowed me to get credit for that. I also think too, the professors that I had were very much, they were very vocal about how the experience in journalism is kind of really what's going to set you apart. At the end of the day, you can study it all year long as much as you want, and you could probably attest to this as well. There's just a level of experience that you cannot get inside the classroom.
I always heard in the early years when I worked in sports is experience is the best education.
It's the best. And I mean, I had great professors here, but I was so grateful for their commitment and determination to making sure we knew the importance of pursuing internships and pursuing work outside of the classroom. Because at the end of the day, there's only so much a textbook can tell you, or there's only so many, news articles you can edit before you actually have to go out and write your own. I mean, there's nothing quite like, doing it for yourself.
Now, one thing that they probably didn't prepare you for was the hours, the Bird Show 5:30 to 10. So how long did it take you to adjust from, going to class at maybe 8 a.m. to now every weekday you do the 5:30 to 10. So must be a very early wake up. What time do you go to bed even?
If there was a time running on my phone from when I started till now, I'd be able to give you an exact number of hours it's taken for me to adjust, because I have not adjusted to the hours of it. It kind of came in waves for me. I definitely was never an 8 a.m. class taker. So that should tell you I do not. For me, I've always been a morning person. I just didn't like waking up. But once I was up, I'm fine, because my whole thing was, I could either be up and be miserable, or I can be up and just be happy to be up. So that was the route that I chose to go. But all that to say, I mean, waking up when it's pitch black outside is never an easy task. When I was an intern, I was only there for 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So I had Tuesday and Thursday to slightly recover from that. But then when I went on to be part-time, it was Monday through Friday, obviously, as it is now. And yeah, you do not ever adjust to it. There are ways to kind of make it better, obviously going to bed at a reasonable time. A dream night for me is to be in bed at 8 o'clock.
Wow.
Now, granted, I'm not going to sleep at that time, but if I'm in bed at 8, it's going to increase the chances of me going to bed sooner than later because I'm already in bed. So that means I've already showered, I've already done everything I need to do before the next day, and I'm in bed. Now, does that happen every night? Absolutely not. My hit-miss ratio to that is probably maybe once out of every 5 days, it's a good night. For example, I was in bed at 8:30 last night. That did great. That was a job well done. It didn't end up falling asleep till 10 o'clock. As long as I'm asleep before 10, it's fine. But after I cross that 10 o'clock threshold, it's pretty brutal in the morning. So I'm going to a concert tonight with friends, and that's probably not the wisest thing that I can do. But tomorrow should be interesting. Luckily, we're doing the podcast today.
Tomorrow would have been rough. I was just going to say, if you have trouble falling asleep, I do this. I don't try to go to sleep at like 8 or 8:30. I do around like 10:30. I try to turn the screens off by 10 and hopefully fall asleep by 11. But over the past few nights, I've discovered a podcast just called Sleepy, and it's British people reading like elaborate bedtime stories in calm voices. So if you ever have trouble falling asleep, I would check that out.
Oh, I'm totally
because
check
it immediately
this out.
Like snap of a finger.
Yeah,
I was out.
Well, I think British accents are awesome. So that's already a
and the
win
fact
there.
That it's soothing, soothing music is just.
It's called Sleepy.
Yeah,
I'm definitely gonna
Sleepy,
check that out.
So
that might help me out. You might have just changed.
They're not a sponsor, but you know, I maybe I can send this to them and get some dollars.
Totally.
So as a part of your time at KSU, you took some leadership classes and the integrative studies internship class, both of which are part of University College, which serves students from the time that they're in high school till they graduate, you know, whether it be dual enrollment, Thrive program, anything like that. So for you, you dipped your feet into leadership classes and the integrative studies internship class. So how did these courses specifically help you prepare for the professional world?
Oh, I mean, I think that these courses showed me, basically they showed me an alternative to what it would be like for students who maybe did not work in a place that had a good leader. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I've had the great experience of working for people who are really good leaders, and I've had the experience of working for people who are not the best leaders. And now, granted, depending on the job that you have and the role that you're doing, whether you're there for a season or you're there for an extended period of time, I think probably plays a role into the type of leadership lessons you'd learn from a place. But for me, I had really good leaders. And so I'm really grateful for that in a lot of the different occupations that I've held from when I turned 16, because that was when I started working. But these classes reiterated the fact of what you can expect from a good leader of an employee, or maybe what to look out for from employees who might not have the best view on leadership. Because I don't think that every single company or every single employer in the world is a good leader. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And once you've been under the leadership of someone who is good at it, it's a drastically different experience as to someone who is not. And so in terms of these classes, I think it just showed me these are the things that you should be looking out for when you are, you know, working in the working world or the professional world. These are the questions that you should be asking your direct supervisor. I mean, everything from learning how to ask for feedback, to take feedback, to receive feedback, the appropriate questions to ask your boss in a one-on-one. What is even a one-on-one? That kind of goes back to my experience. I had great leaders who introduced me to one-on-ones when I was 20 years old. So, I mean, it's always been something that I've been used to, that one-on-one time with someone to ask them questions about your performance and to kind of get feedback. But there's so many of my peers who, when I say one-on-one, they're like, what's that? You can ask your manager for a one-on-one. That's something that you can bring to their attention. And I believe it's not something you should bring to their attention. It's something that they should be bringing to your attention. A lot of these classes just kind of really give you the true notes on what it is that you should be looking for and how to be a better leader in the professional world, especially for those who haven't had the opportunity to work for a good leader yet.
Yeah, and I think that that's so, so important. I know for me, early when I was doing internships for a couple of teams, you know, the second year I was working professionally, I was managing and scheduling a group of like 30 to 40 college interns.
Oh, wow.
So it's just kind of thrown into the fire.
Yes.
And you got to just find your leadership. And
right.
It takes, I mean, it takes a couple times of failing to realize what you're good at as a leader, or
right.
even if you want to be a leader. So, you know, as the years progressed, I learned, you know, it becomes one of those things where even though you work with people every day, you know, if they're under you or, you know, they're your intern, you can be friendly with them, but not to the point where they don't respect you as a
exactly.
leader. And that was one of the things
yes.
that I learned
yep.
throughout my earlier career.
And I remember, I think it was my integrative studies internship class that talked on that balance of knowing the
yeah.
difference between a personal relationship and a professional relationship.
Because once you start out like going out for drinks with your interns, it kind of like just
yeah. blurs that line,
erases that line
yep.
and makes them think that they not necessarily can get away with things, but things might be a little more relaxed
exactly.
when they shouldn't be.
Totally. And I mean, there's a drastically different experience that I had while interning for the Burt Show and being a part-time employee, because
yeah.
there are lines to be drawn between the separation of an intern and an employee and
yeah.
an employee to an employee. So, but I mean, I can't say enough great things about the classes that I took here. I loved my leadership classes. I was fully prepared to get a leadership certificate, and then I was advised that I would graduate sooner if I did not pursue that certificate, and so I did choose to graduate sooner.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were awesome when I took them. They were really great courses.
Great. So in addition to your coursework at Kennesaw, you did a lot of volunteering. Talk about how important that was for you and what you enjoyed most about those experiences.
Yeah, the first organization that I found here at KSU was Miracle at KSU, which is a on-campus organization that is committed to bringing funds and awareness to children's healthcare of Atlanta. And so they start out every year right around the end of the spring semester going into the next going into the summer and fall
right.
for their next year. And they raise money and they plan an event called Dance Marathon. And then at the event of Dance Marathon, which their Dance Marathon is next Saturday, I think, which is exciting. They raise money, and then at the Dance Marathon event at the
that's
end of
the 14th.
Yes.
14th for those listening.
Yes, March 14th. It's a great event.
If you're
in the
listening
area.
Beforehand, then you should go. If not, then, well, you missed it.
You missed it. Maybe next year. Put it on your radar. It always happens around March or April. So a great event. I got involved with that organization my freshman year. Fast forward to my junior year, I was asked to MC the entire event. And I just credit that moment to being one of the pivotal moments in my career of just knowing that maybe this is something that I'm good at. Maybe this is a career worth pursuing,
yeah.
considering the fact that an organization that I, you know, deeply love and admire asked me to share my talent with the organization in that capacity. But I mean, my best friends are from that organization. My
yeah.
favorite memories from KSU specifically come from Miracle at KSU. I cannot speak any highly of that organization.
Awesome. That's great to hear. So going into your work specifically at the Burt Show, you know, assistant producer to somebody who's not even familiar with the radio or theater industry might not really know what that is. So the question I had written down was, how did that opportunity come about? But you kind of already talked about that. So why don't we just move on? What are your more regular duties every day on the show and at the station? And I know that this is a weird question because the radio industry is probably one of those where every day is a grab bag. But what would you say is kind of like the normal day, as I'm sure there's not normal days?
Yeah, for me, I'm actually lucky in the fact that my job is pretty normal in a sense of I know what to expect from, you know, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Granted, I'm the phone screener. So anytime you ever call the radio station, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, whenever you dial that number on
yeah.
your phone, it goes to me directly.
I did once.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was,
really? When was this?
When Cassie and Davi were playing the call in and say the hill that you're going to die on.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I vividly
it
remember
might have
that
been
one.
Before. I don't remember exactly
yeah.
when it was, but yeah.
Okay. I could have very well been there. That sounds familiar enough. So anyways, if you called when I was there, I would have
yeah.
answered. I make sure that your radio's down, you know, there's no unnecessary noise happening on the sides of your phone, and kind of prep you to before you get on air to just say, you know, you have about 7 to 10 seconds to share your comment. So I go through that with every caller. But before then, I get to work around like 5:15, 5:30. From about 5:30 to 7 a.m., I write entertainment news articles. So I'm just kind of surfing the web, finding the things that happened in pop culture in the past 24 hours, things that fit our demographic and that what we should be writing about. Write those articles, get those up online, prepare a few tweets to tweet out about the articles. And then from that point forward, it is just managing the phones and then managing social media content alongside Cassie.
Hey, Brandon Apter here, host of the University College Podcast. If you're a student listening that is curious about investing, our Department of Strategic Outreach Initiatives is hosting Investing 101, a MoneyWise workshop that will take place on Wednesday, March 18th, 2020, from 3:30 p.m. to 4:45 p.m., and also Thursday, March 19th, from 12:30 p.m. to 1:45 p.m., both in University College's Room 200, which is Building 430 on the Kennesaw campus map. Now, Investing 101 is a workshop that will provide an in-depth review of today's most common investment types, as well as tips for developing a sound investment strategy, including a fundamental approach to portfolio construction and proper diversification. You can reserve your seat today by emailing your name, student ID number, and the date you plan to attend to ucstrategicoutreach@kennesaw.edu. Workshop attendees will receive a $50 KSU bookstore voucher upon completion of the session. For more information on all of the MoneyWise workshops as part of our strategic outreach initiatives at University College, visit uc.kennesaw.edu and scroll to the bottom to the events calendar. Now, back to the rest of the episode with Blake. So when you were growing up, did you have any favorite shows to listen to that you still think of while you're on The Burt Show?
Oh, man. Well, The Burt Show actually plays in my hometown. So, one of our syndicated stations is B95.1, which that was a station that I grew up listening to. It was a top 40 station in my hometown, and it was awesome. I've always loved Ricky Smiley. I thought he's just incredible. I've always loved Bobby Bones. I thought Bobby Bones has a great show, even still to this day. Bobby Bones is awesome. Obviously, Ryan Seacrest as well. Definitely number one idol when it comes to radio, TV personalities.
Yeah.
Elvis Duran, another absolute classic when it comes to radio legends. In terms of TV, I grew up watching 106 in Park on BET. Loved that show. Ellen, of course, still to this day, one of the most iconic to ever do it. Let's think. Any other shows that I grew up? Obviously, it was on MTV. Was it TRL?
Yeah, TRL with Carson Daly.
Oh, the best.
It's one of my favorites.
Loved that show. I mean, but a lot of those things that you hear the commonalities between the two is the ones that have the live studio audiences are just game changers for me. Like, I could not imagine the energy in the room, when, you're hosting a show in front of an audience and, you have artists performing and you get to do the live interviews afterwards. Like, all of that sounds very fascinating. I watched The Breakfast Club up in New York City pretty often. Those are just to name a few.
Awesome. So I know, like, you talked about what you do with the phones, writing content, doing social media content, leading up to, working the phones and screening the calls. So what would you say, if you could describe in like a nutshell what goes into the overall preparation of an episode of The Burt Show? Because you mentioned so many things already, entertainment buzz, the different things people talk about. You have the running storylines with callers, that might be trying to get out of a bad relationship, or somebody thinks that they're cheating or something.
Right.
All the stuff that morning shows do. So what would you say goes into the preparation of an episode or a couple of episodes of The Burt Show?
Yeah. So for us, we are required to submit our personal stories, which is a big part of the show, as you hear a lot about what the cast is going through.
Yeah.
Whether it is something that's super fun or something that is not, they're not so excited to share about. You know, the tagline is real funny. So there is a portion that is required for us to be real and a portion that is required for us to be funny. And so every Monday we submit 5 personal stories, myself included in that. And so while I'm not a full-time personality on the show, there is a chance that Bert might see one of my personal stories and find it interesting and would like for me to tell it on air. And so we turn
those like
in.
A different 5 stories every week?
Every week.
Ooh.
Yeah, you get better at looking for the type of content that would work. It's definitely been a learning curve for me. As an intern, you're only required to submit 3 personal stories,
okay,
which is great. But making the jump to part time, obviously, there's a little bit more responsibility.
What's the last personal story that you had featured on the show?
Oh, what did I do? I told a story. I was on the air yesterday. And I told a story about how I donated to a political campaign and I wanted my money back immediately. So that was a funny story. And then I told the story. My dad and I have had a pretty rocky relationship. And so we recently spoke and it was like a really good conversation. And so spoke about that on Monday. So there you have it. There's a real segment and then there's a funny segment, kind of all in one.
Very neat. So to kind of circle back to Kennesaw State, you know, going to college and pursuing something that you're passionate about. And again, for you, you didn't really find that pathway until 2017. So for current students that might be listening, can you talk about what the process was like for you when it came to securing an internship and landing a full-time job?
For me, it was kind of a situation where there was no other option for me other than to just do it and to make it happen. I have a very determined personality. Oftentimes it kind of can get me in trouble.
I can tell.
I think it is something that has lended me to being in the position that I'm in now. And by no means am I ever, you know, am I where I want to be. But I think there's a level of this industry that is very competitive and you have to be willing to put the work in and you have to be willing to kind of try everything. And so, I mean, going back to me even applying for the internship in January, at the top of the year, it was like, well, if my application gets lost in the pile, I will be able to reapply in July when they actually start looking for these interns, you know? So, I think it was just I wrote down every potential internship that I could possibly pursue. And as soon as one didn't work out, I crossed it off the list
and went
to the next one. And if I didn't hear anything back, I went back and redid it again. But that's not to say there hasn't been, you know, trials along the way. I mean, for example, when I was finishing up my internship at the Bird Show and we were getting ready to go into the spring of 2019 semester. And there was no word on whether or not I was going to be part-time or how that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any indication that I had that was going to be a reality for me. And so in my mind, this was a great experience.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for what I have here, but it's time to move on and do the next internship because I still have 3 more semesters of school left.
Yeah.
And so I got an internship at WSB-TV, which is the TV news station here in Atlanta, one of the top ones, my favorite one personally. And I got the internship. A week later, I got a call saying that their internship program had ended indefinitely and they would not be bringing it back. And so there was a group of us who were just got the iconic phone call that we were chosen to be a WSB-TV news intern, which to kind of put it in perspective for you, many of my friends who are journalists today who got their jobs right out of college upon graduating, which it's very rare to get a reporter or a correspondent job
right away
because they're looking for that experience. And a lot of my friends who did the WSB-TV news internship and graduated and got those jobs immediately was because of the WSB-TV news internship because it's such a great internship program. I mean, you're doing everything from producing to writing to reporting to anchoring. They give you every element of it. And so all that to say, I was definitely discouraged. I mean, I'll never forget, I was driving home for Thanksgiving break. The number one question you get asked when you go home for holidays is, so what's next? And you know, 20 minutes ago, I knew what was next. Now I don't know what was next. But all that to say, you know, a week after that week was when Bert and I had the conversation about me staying on part-time. So I'm a believer that everything happens for a reason, as long as you're doing everything you're supposed to do with what you have.
Yeah.
So
if you had, you know, one tip or one, you know, thing of advice to give people that want to get into the radio industry, whether it's right out of school or just like, you know, they're doing something that they're doing right now and they don't like it and they're just like, you know, that's something that I could be good at, what would you say would be, you know, the first plan of attack that you should have?
I definitely think you have an advantage when you're in school. I feel like there was nothing else competing for my attention when I was pursuing those internships. I was able to fully go all in on those internships. Now, granted, if I put myself in someone else's shoes and I suddenly, wanted to have a different career path, it would be far more difficult now, knowing that, you know, what my livelihood, my livelihood depends on what I'm doing now. So there is not much freedom and flexibility to go out and explore other career options. So I would say, if you're a student, be determined and be persistent. There is not a level, I never saw myself as annoying. I just saw myself as somebody who was going to work the hardest and who was going to be the most persistent and most determined. I don't believe I had the strongest resume when I was competing for a lot of these internships early on, considering people who were coming from more competitive schools that have more of a, broadcast heavy major. I didn't have that. But there are a lot of things that I think we can control of that we're not fully, that sometimes we don't want to own. And that's just being on time, being prepared, writing someone a thank you letter, even if it's not promising that you're going to get the job. It's just thanking someone for their time, because at the end of the day, that person didn't have to give you an interview. They could have just kept it at the application and, shut the door from there. And so it's like the little things that I think make a world of difference when kind of going after something you're super passionate about. And the last thing is, like, I'm fully aware that this is a fun industry when, you get to where you want to get to in this industry. Like, I fully believe it is so fun. I think entertainment influences the world as we know it now. It's the biggest influencer that we have in the world.
And it's really an industry that's not really ever going to go out of business.
No, because we need to be entertained. And so I have fully been married to the idea of, like, whatever this takes, how long it takes, how difficult it gets, I'm going to do whatever it takes to see my dreams come true. And I think there's a level of persistence that you've got to have to want to really kind of settle in on that idea.
Yeah, and I think that's really great that you mentioned that, because I think early on anybody's career, sending emails or calling places that you want to work at, you view it as more of like being an annoyance, but that's not how you can view it. You have to view it as being persistent and making sure they don't forget who you are.
Right. And I think too, like, it's not your responsibility if you're annoying. Like, I think it's expected that you're coming out of school, you're looking for what you want to do, you're looking for opportunities. At the end of the day, the right people are going to respect that.
Yeah.
And the people who don't,
maybe it's not for you after all.
There are a few of those people out there. And I think too, like, the grind and the hustle of it all doesn't stop. I mean, I feel like I'm now working harder than I was a year ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like this, I think sometimes we believe like, oh, when I get there, it's going to be so much easier. No.
Yeah.
It only gets more difficult, but I also believe it gets more fun too.
Yeah. Well, Blake, appreciate you coming on. I know I tagged the Twitter handles and everything during my intro, but where can folks find you and the show on social media?
On Twitter, it's just at the Blake Eason. Look, I hate that Twitter name so much. I wish it was at Blake Eason, but there's somebody who will not
give me that
Twitter name. I have DM'd him several times. My Instagram is just at Blake Eason, and then you can catch up on everything about The Bird Show at thebirdshow.com.
All right, Blake, thanks for coming by, and hope to catch up with you again in the future.
Oh my gosh, let's do it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks to everybody for tuning in to this episode of the University College Podcast. If you're not already doing so, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify or Anchor.fm. We are also available on iHeartRadio. Just search University College Podcast Network and you'll be able to find the show there. For information on all of University College's programs, degrees, and academic support initiatives, please visit uc.kennesaw.edu. You can also follow us on social media at UC at KSU. On Twitter and Instagram, that's at UCATKSU. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time on another episode of the University College Podcast.